الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we're reading the narration, the author he mentioned, from Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, تسحروا فإن في السحور بركة, that you should take the morning meal before the Fajr, in the time of a Sahar, and for the one who's going to fast, because indeed in this meal there is blessing. Indeed in this meal there is blessing. We have seen that the Sahur with the Fatha on the scene, this is the food and the drink that one he will take at that time, and that with the Dhamma on the scene, this is the action of taking that meal. And the people of knowledge have clarified that in both of these affairs there are blessings. And likewise, the time for this issue is at the time of a sahar, tasaharu, yani that you take the meal at the time of a sahar. And the people of knowledge have mentioned that this is the time that is just before the rising of the fajr, the time qubayl and fajr. And some of the people of knowledge mentioned that the sahar is the last third of the night. But no doubt the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is to delay it to the last moment, and to the latest moments just before the coming of the Fajr, and this is best. And this particular sunnah here has been clarified in a number of narrations from a number of different companions, and the encouragement of taking the Sahur. The encouragement of taking the Sahur and the clarification that it is a blessing. And it has been collected by An-Nisa'i that some of the companions, they entered upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa huwa yatasahhar, while he's taking the sahur, and he said to them, innaha baraka a'taakum Allahu iyyaha fala tad'uha, that indeed this is a blessing that Allah has given you, so do not ever leave it. Likewise, it has been collected by Abu Dawood from the hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah radiyallahu anhu. He says, "Da'ani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ila sahur," that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited me to take the sahur fi Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan. Faqala halumma, halumma ila al-ghadat al-mubarak, halumma ila al-ghadat al-mubarak, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited him to take the sahur with him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he told him, come to the blessed morning meal. To the blessed morning meal. And likewise, it has been collected as well by An-Nisa'i from the hadith of Al-Miqdam ibn Ma'di Kariba radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told them, عليكم بالغداء, عليكم بغداء السحور, فإنه هو الغداء المبارك, that you should always hold fast, yani that you should take, yani meaning so long as you're fasting, to the pre-dawn meal, or the early morning meal before the Fajr, because indeed this is a meal that is full of blessing. That indeed, that this is a meal that is full of blessing. So this is likewise what Anas is clarifying here, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered with this affair, تَسَحَّرُوا فَإِنَّ فِي السُّحُورِ بَرَكَةً, أو فَإِنَّ فِي السُّحُورِ بَرَكَةً, to take the sahur, to be awake at that time in preparation for the next day of fasting, and taking that meal, seeking the blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal, by implementing this sunnah and abiding by this way in preparation for the day of fasting. So these narrations here, all of them, they consist of يعني هذه الحديث مشتملة على حكم وحكمة وفائدة. يعني the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he coupled in these narrations the mention of the ruling of the encouragement to take the sahur. And we have seen that there's a consensus that it is sunnah. That is sunnah, meaning it's not obligatory. And some of the people of knowledge mentioned that it's sunnah mu'akkadah, a highly emphasized sunnah. In any case, what we benefit from understanding this ruling now is that if somebody were to leave it, either intentionally, and to sleep and to not take it, or on accident, it's not considered a sin. But he's leaving a great virtue, and he is missing out on the application of a great sunnah, and a great reward likewise. So it's something that a believer, he should not leave intentionally. He should not leave it intentionally, even if he's only going to take a small bite of something, or to eat one date, for example, or even a drink of water. He should he should be up at this time to implement this sunnah. To implement this sunnah even if he is not hungry or if he is not thirsty or he's not looking for food, he's not desiring any food, he should, and he even takes something small, and he, so that he's considered applying the sunnah. So the ruling is that it is sunnah mu'akkadah. It is sunnah mu'akkadah. The one who performs it, he will have a great reward. And we should never turn away from it intentionally or think that it's not beneficial. Rather, we should strive to implement it in our lives. We should strive to implement it in our lives. And the wisdom behind that, is because there's blessing. And the benefit as well is because in this meal there is great blessing. We've seen in the previous class that the blessing occurs in a number of ways. And first and foremost, that is in obeying Allah Azza wa Jal and following His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by performing the Sunnah. This is established here. Obeying Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and following the Sunnah of His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this will be by being awake at that time and taking food at that time in preparation for the Sahur, even if it was something small. Also, the believer at this time as well, he will have his intention in taking this and following the sunnah, but as well to strengthen his body and to take the nourishment that he needs so that he will have energy. He will have strength and he will have energy and need to last him throughout the day. And this is from the wisdom of the sahur in the first place, and also from the wisdom of why it should be delayed until the last moment, so that that nourishment will carry a person by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla throughout the day. Yani, so that he would have energy physically and he would have nourishment that would be strength to carry him to fulfill the obligations of the day and the needs that he is required to fulfill in the life like this. So he will also have this intention as well. And likewise, from the benefits of the sahur, whenever it's implemented properly at the right time, yani in those last hours at the time of the sahur, is that this is the time of an-nuzul al-ilahi, the time whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He descends in a manner befitting His majesty. And He asks if there's anyone who is seeking forgiveness so He can forgive them, or if they're asking for a need so that He can give them. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a great virtue and a great benefit that a believer, he'll be awake at this time. And this is something that one should not be heedless about. And he should be remembering Allah in this time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He praised in general those who are awake at this time, and those who throughout the year, they're establishing the night prayer and closing that night prayer at this time, standing in the night prayer until the last ends of the night, and then closing that with seeking forgiveness. كانوا قليلاً من الليل ما يهجعون وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون. And in the early hours of the morning, they used to seek forgiveness. Any description of the righteous, وبالأسحاري هم يستغفرون. So therefore, a believer, while he's awake at this time, even if he's preoccupied or she is preoccupied likewise for the sisters, taking care of the needs or preparing the meal, for example, for their family or for their self and the likes like this, they will busy themselves as well with the remembrance of Allah. And likewise for the women, those who have family, those who have husbands, and they have children in the likes like this, and they're preparing the sahur, and they're getting up early in the morning in this manner, they should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this preparation. And they should perform this as an action of worship, preparing that food that is barakah and blessing for her family, and helping her family upon this way, and cooperating with them upon establishing this great obligation and seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while she is cooking or preparing the food, likewise she can remember Allah by either reciting the Quran while she's working, or by simply making istighfar and making the adhkar and the remembrances, any that are legislated in the supplication. So she'll be busy working with her body, but likewise her heart and her tongue can be busy with worship. And the first worship is to do this preparation for the sake of Allah, and to prepare that for her family, seeking the reward from Allah. And then along with that, to supplicate and to seek the forgiveness of Allah while she's engaged in this affair. So this is the case here. A believer, any that is wise and that is given success and that is clever and has knowledge and light, they're able to turn these affairs, these daily affairs, into actions of worship that they draw near to Allah by way of. And a believer, he can do this all throughout the year, but even more emphasized in these days and in these times, in the days of Ramadan and in the nights of Ramadan, and in the preparation for the actions of worship that are performed in Ramadan. So one should not be heedless at this time. Rather, they should be remembering Allah. They should be remembering Allah and seeking forgiveness, and seeking their needs from Allah and begging Him for that which they desire from the good of this life and the hereafter. Also, the people of Nar, as they mentioned, from the benefits of the sahur and waking up at this time, is that a person, he is awake in time to perform the obligatory prayer of Al-Fajr. And this has also been mentioned from the wisdoms of delaying it to the last moment, so that a believer will be awake at this time and he will not miss the obligatory prayer, and even more so in congregation. And the one who is awake for the sahur, then he will be awake likewise for the fajr, especially if he delays it to this time. As for the one who were to take a meal or to eat some food and drink and the likes like this in the middle of the night and then sleep after that, then many times they will not wake up at this time. Rather, they will sleep until the coming of the fajr. And if they had intended, then this is allowed. But they missed out on this sunnah. They missed out on this sunnah. The sunnah is to take this meal in the time of the sahar. And Allah knows the best understanding of the sahar is those last few moments. The last portion of the night. Even if one were to consider it from the last third of the night, likewise, this would be from the very last ends of the night, not from the middle of the night. So the one who was eating in the middle of the night and then sleeping after that, he's not implementing the sunnah. And Allah knows best. And many times this person, maybe he will sleep on the fajr prayer. Waliyadhu billah. This would be an even greater munkar and evil. That one, he will sleep on the fajr prayer in the days of Ramadan. And missing the fajr prayer in any time is a great failure and a great loss. So to be awake at that time, taking the suhoor in preparation for the day of fasting, and also performing the obligatory prayer of the fajr. And no doubt, the one who's going to perform that prayer, likewise, he will perform the two sunnah before that as well. And all of this is facilitated for the one who is taking the suhoor in the proper time. Also, from the benefits of the suhoor, the people of Nahas have mentioned what has been reported authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the hadith of Abi Sa'id radiallahu anhu, that he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, As-sahur akluhu baraka, fala tada'uhu walau an tajra'a ahadukum jar'atan min ma. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that taking this meal, it is a blessing. So you should never leave it. Even if one of you were only to take a drink of water. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُونَ عَلَى الْمُتَسَحِّرِينَ. Because indeed Allah and the angels, they are sending the salah. And he's supplicating and mentioning them with good. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he's sending his mercy upon them. And the likes, any upon those who are making the suhoor. So therefore, a believer, he will be awake at this time, hoping to be from those whom Allah and His angels are sending the salat on, and he's supplicating for them, and that Allah will send His mercy and blessing upon them. So this is something that, in reality, is very important. Even if a person, he is only going to take a drink of water, as here, and if this is something that is legislated, and he should strive to do that. Or even if he's going to eat, for example, a date, then he should strive to do that. Even if he's not hungry, for example, or he's not desiring the food, he should do it in the performance of the sunnah, seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of this is an example of the ease in the religion and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the believers. The fact that this is legislated and highly encouraged, and along with that, all of these blessings and benefits come in the performance of this meal. And plus, food is something that the human being, he enjoys. So he's enjoying himself, eating the food that he likes. And there is no specific food that is legislated. Rather, any all of the food that is halal and permissible, this is something that is allowed. There's no special food or special drink that one should choose over another. Although the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did mention ni'ma suhoor al-mu'min al-tamr, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, collected by Abu Dawood, ni'ma suhoor al-mu'min al-tamru, praising this affair, how good is the tamr, the date, for the suhoor of a believer. And he said, from the best things that a believer he could take in the morning time for his suhoor will be the dates. So in the Sahur, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned the ni'mah Suhur al-Mu'mini at-Tamru. How good is the dates for the Sahur of a believer. So this is something that is encouraged. Something that is encouraged to eat in the morning time before the rising of the Fajr and to delay it to the last moments. Also from the benefits of the Sahur, the people of knowledge have clarified that which is in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَصْلُ مَا بَيْنَ سِيَامِنَا وَسِيَامِ أَهْلِ كِتَابِ أَكْلَةُ سَحَرِ. The dividing line that which is between our fast and the fast of the people of the book is the eating of the meal at the time of the Sahar. And he said, this is a means to be in opposition and to be different from the people of the book. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged this in the Sahur specifically and in all of the legislative rites, yani in general, that it's from the means of drawing near to Allah and pleasing Him, that a believer, he'll be different from the disbelievers, and that he will not imitate the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, especially not in their worship, especially not in their religious affairs and customs, and then that which is related to their religion, and even likewise that which is specific to them from their customs as well. But from that here is that they would not take this affair. It was not from their methodology to take the Sahur. So it is from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do that, to be in opposition to them, and to be different to them. And this is something that a believer, he will show thanks to Allah. He will show thanks to Allah that he's not a disbeliever. And he'll be happy and grateful that he's not a Jew, nor is he a Christian. Rather, he is a Muslim. So he should be thankful for this and never imitate the enemies of Allah azza wa jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. That the people of the hellfire and the people of the Jannah, they're not equal. They're not equal. And the people of the Jannah, they are the winners. They are those who are successful. So to be different from them, they're not the same. They're not the same in their creed. They're not the same in their belief. They're not the same in their manners. They're not the same in their conduct. They're not the same in their speech. They're not the same in their dealings. They're not the same in this life. And likewise, they're not the same in the hereafter. They're not the same in the hereafter. هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Do those people who know, are those people who know equal to those who do not know? It is only those who have sound understanding that will reflect and take admonition. Meaning, are those people who know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the truth, and that the Quran is the revelation of Allah azza wa jal, and the guidance, and the final direction and revelation that has been revealed, and that whoever follows Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will have the mercy of Allah in paradise, and the pleasure of Allah, and peace, and joy, and happiness eternally after he dies, and that those who oppose him or turn away from him and disbelieve, that the angels, they will come and take his soul violently at the time of death, and they will smite his face and his back, and they will say to him, ذُوكُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ. Are they the same, those who know these affairs and those who do not know these affairs? Are they the same? No, they're not the same. Not in this life and not in the hereafter. Not at the time of death. So therefore, a believer, he'll be different from the disbelievers. And he'll be proud and thankful. And he's happy. He'll take it as izzah and might that he's a believer. And he was favored with faith. So he will differ from them. And this is a legislative way. And a sunnah in itself to be different from the people of the book. After this, the author, he says, عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه عن زيد بن ثابت عن زيد بن ثابت رضي الله عنه أنه قال تسحرنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم قام إلى الصلاة. قال أنس قلت لزيد كم كان بين الأذان والسحور قال قدر خمسين آية So after this, the author, he mentioned another narration of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. And this time he's narrating on Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu anhu. And he says that we took the suhoor with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani Zayd is referring to himself. Zayd ibn Thabit, he's saying that he took the suhoor along with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he stood up for the salah. Meaning that they're taking the suhoor, and after they finish with the suhoor briefly, they stood up for their prayer. قال أنس. So at this time Anas, he's asking Zayd ibn Thabit رضي الله عنهما. He said to Zayd, كم كان بين الأذان والسحور? How long was it between the Adhan and between the Suhoor? How long was it between the Adhan and between the Suhoor? So he says, قَالَ قَدْرُ خَمْسِينَ آيَةً. It was about the amount of the recitation of 50 verses. It was about the amount of the recitation of 50 verses. قَدْرُ خَمْسِينَ آيَةً. يعني قَدْرُ خِرَاءَةِ خَمْسِينَ آيَةً. It's about the time required to recite 50 verses. So we see that Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu anhu, he had taken the suhoor along with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this situation. And from this is a benefit, along with the benefit that had preceded, or the narration, along with the narration that had preceded from Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah. And radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam da'ahu ila suhoor. So we see, and he was invited to suhoor, and here we have Zayd ibn Thabit. He is taking the suhoor with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And some wordings, it's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sent someone out to look for somebody. See if there's anybody. I need to bring it to come take the suhoor with us. And they went outside, and they found Zayd ibn Thabit, and he came inside. So this is an indication that it's allowed to have the suhoor with others. That it's allowed to have the suhoor with others. A person, maybe he would prepare some food and invite his brother or the likes like this to make the suhoor with him. This is all allowed. Also, we see the good manners and the choice of words for Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu anhu. He says, "Tasaharna ma'a Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam." He said, "We took the suhoor along with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And he didn't say, "Tasahara Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ma'ana." And he made it clear in the expression that he used that they're following behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they're along with him in his company. And meaning that he is the leader and he is the one that is favoring them, that allowing them to be along with him in his company sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they didn't say that the Messenger, he took suhoor with us. Rather, we took suhoor with him, meaning that we were his companions in his company. And he affirming this affair. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is the good choice of words and the proper manners to have along with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the likes of these situations. He said, so we took the suhoor. We took the suhoor and then we stood up for the prayer. And this is indication again that the suhoor was delayed until the last moments. Just before the prayer. At this time, Anas radiallahu anhu, out of his curiosity and his desire to learn, and his desire to know the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked Zayd, قُلْتُ لِزَيْدٍ كَمْ كَانَ بَيْنَ الْأَذَانِ وَالسُّحُورِ. I said to Zayd, how long was it between the adhan and the suhoor? So this is the case here. Anas asked Zayd this question, yani, to find out the distance between the two, so that he knows, yani, what is the proper time or the best time for taking the suhoor, yani, according to the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the narrator who's narrating this narration on Anas radiallahu anhu is Qatada ibn Diyam al-Sudusi rahimahullahu ta'ala, from the Tabi'een. Likewise, in his narration and the rest of the chain, he asked Anas, and Anas told him, "I asked Zayd," and the likes like this, an indication that whenever they heard the likes of these affairs, whenever they heard the likes of these narrations in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they're interested to find the details. They're interested to know, yani, exactly how it was performed. So they heard this affair that he took the suhoor with him. After that, he wants to know what time it was, yani, what was the distance, when was it exactly, so that they could follow the footsteps precisely. So this is was the way of the companions radiallahu anhum, and likewise the way of the tabi'een rahimahum Allahu ta'ala. So he clarified, Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, he clarified, قَدْرُ خَمْسِينَ آيَةً. It was 50 verses. And the statement of Anas radiallahu anhu, whenever he asked Zayd, he says, كَمْ كَانَ بَيْنَ الْأَذَانِ وَالسُّحُورِ. How long was it بَيْنَ الْأَذَانِ, between the adhan and the suhoor? The people of knowledge, they mentioned that the meaning of the adhan here is the iqamah. The meaning of the adhan here is the iqamah. And this is something that is used in the Arabic language and also in the legislation, that The iqamah sometimes is referred to as the adhan. And in reality, the iqamah and the adhan, they are both adhan. The adhan is to inform the people of the time of the prayer and the that the prayer has entered. And the iqamah is to inform the people that the prayer is about to start. So both of them are considered adhan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in authentic narration, he said, "Bayna kulli adhanayni salatun." Bayna kulli adhanayni salatun. Between every two adhan, there is a prayer. And what is intended here, between every adhan and iqamah, there is a salah, meaning a non-obligatory prayer. So it's legislated between every adhan and every iqamah to pray a non-obligatory prayer. This is from from the sunnah. It's allowed. It's allowed and it's encouraged like this, between every adhan and every iqamah. But the point now is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he called the iqamah adhan. He called the iqamah adhan. Bayna kulli adhanayn. Between every two adhan. Meaning the adhan and the iqamah. So this is what is being referred to here, and Allah knows best. Has come in Bukhari also, in Sahih Muslim, other wordings. And Qatada, he says in one of these wordings in Sahih Bukhari, kam kana bayna faraghihima wa min suhurihima wa dukhurihima fi salat. How long was it between them finishing their suhur and them entering into the salah? And then in another wording in Sahih Muslim, he says, radiyallahu anhu, thumma qumna ila salah. قلت كم كان قدر ما بينهما قال 50 آية. And he said, then we stood up to the prayer. So when he stands up to the prayer, whenever the iqamah comes. So this is an indication, number one, that they used to hasten to establish the morning prayer. The morning prayer would be established, the iqamah for the morning prayer would be established briefly after the adhan. It would not be a long period. They would hasten to perform the morning prayer. The iqamah would be for Fajr would be established early. It's been mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam can yusalli subha bil ghalas. Bil ghalas, is in the darkness of the night. And they used to finish their prayer whenever a person, he would barely know the one who was next to him. And the women, they used to go to the Fajr prayer with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in return in their garments, and no one would know who they were because of how dark it was. They would not be able to identify them or know them and the likes like this because of how dark it was, and he's still after finishing the prayer. So the Fajr prayer will be performed at its earliest time. This is the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this case. And likewise as well, and the benefit here or the shahid, is that the sahur was delayed all the way until the last time, the last moments. So this is something that is intended. To be delayed. And this is from the mercy and the ease. And the benefit from that is to have strength. And to have nourishment. That will be a means to carry a person through the rest of the day. So a person should get up in time. It doesn't mean that a person, he'll wake up 5 minutes before the adhan and then rush and scramble and the likes like this and find himself in a hard and tight situation. This is a problem. This is a problem that some people may fall into. And rather, he'll get up in time. He'll get up before that. You need to benefit from this time of the sahar, first and foremost, and to take his meal in ease and make the preparation properly and not be scrambling and running around and eating and the likes like this. And then maybe sometimes even falling into doubt about his fast, eating after the adhan has gone off by 1 minute or 2 minutes or so on and so forth because he's pressed, This should all be avoided. So what is intended by eating till the last moment until the Fajr is established? Until the Fajr is established. Whenever it's known that the Fajr prayer has come in, at this time it's not allowed to eat. So this is likewise from the benefits of this narration, that the time of Suhoor, it stops at the rising of the Fajr. So after that, it's not allowed to eat. So a believer, he should not take this affair lightly and take the fast of Ramadan lightly and delay to the extent that now possibly he's eating after the Fajr has risen. Rather, he should finish his food and take his need from his food and drink, and whenever the adhan comes, he's done, and he does not need any more. In this manner, he will be safe. In this manner, he will not have any doubts about his worship. In this manner, the whispers of the devil will not come. In this manner, the people of knowledge, they will all agree that his fast is good. And in this manner like this. So this is something that we should be aware of. This is something that we should be aware of. It's been narrated from Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhumah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Fajru fajran." The fajr is two fajrs. Fajrun yuharrimu ta'ama wa tahillu fihi as-salah. There's a fajr that makes the food impermissible and it's allowed to pray, meaning to pray the fajr. There's a fajr that the food, and for the fasting person, the food becomes impermissible and the fajr prayer becomes permissible. Wa fajrun tahrumu fihi as-salah, ay salat as-subhi wa tahillu fihi at-ta'am. And there's another fajr whenever the prayer is impermissible and not allowed, meaning the morning prayer, the fajr prayer, and the eating the food is allowed. So there's two fajrs. And the ruling with regards to them is that one of them, it's allowed to eat at that time and it's not allowed to pray fajr because the time of fajr hasn't come. And this is called al-fajr al-kadhib, and it's the false fajr. It's not the true fajr. So there's two fajr. One of them comes early and it's a false fajr. It's not the real fajr. And at this time, this fajr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said from his characteristics or traits is that it's allowed to eat at this time and not allowed to pray. Not allowed to pray. Meaning not allowed to pray the morning prayer, the fajr prayer. Not allowed to pray the obligatory prayer of fajr because this time has not come yet. And then there's another fajr which is called a fajr al-sadiq, which is the true fajr. And at this time, it's not allowed to eat. It's not allowed to eat for those who are fasting. And it's allowed to pray now. So the time for the fajr has entered with this time. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a number of narrations likewise has clarified, he described these two different types of fajr in the legislative aspect and what the rulings that are derived from understanding these affairs, and likewise their description, yani in the creation, and that the fajr that is false, it comes into the sky going vertical from the horizon up. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, كَذَنَ بِسِرْحَانِ كَذَنَ بِسِرْحَانِ. Sirhan is a dhib, like the tail of a fox or the tail of a wolf. And it's going up like this. So this light, it comes about 30, 45 minutes before the true fajr. And it's a light that goes up into the sky. And it's a light, it's a faint light. It doesn't go across the horizon. And there's no light coming across the horizon. Rather, there's a light that goes up into the sky. It's a light that one can see. And some of the people of knowledge mentioned that it has a blue tone to it. And this light, it comes and it goes away. It comes and it goes away. This light will go away whenever the true fajr starts to come. This light will disappear whenever the true fajr starts to come. So there will be a light in the sky that appears on the horizon, but it's going up and down. It's going up and down. It's going up and down to the sky in this manner like this. And then it will slightly go away, and then the light on the horizon will come. Another light will come that's going a long ways. That's going a long ways across the horizon. And this light here is attached to the horizon. And it's you see it along with the horizon. The other light is not along the horizon or attached to or coupled with the horizon. This one is the true fajr. This one is the true fajr. And this is the white line that Allah, He mentioned in his book, فَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ. The خَيْط الْأَبْيَضُ, this is that line that comes at this time, the light that is coming, and if you watch it, it will come across the horizon long ways. It will come across the horizon long ways, and it's like a line, and it's pushing up the darkness. And above that line, there's another line, the line of darkness. So that light is coming, and it's like it's pushing the line above it away. And this is whenever those lines become distinguished. And this is the rising of the fajr. And at this time is the time whenever it's not allowed to eat. At this time is the time whenever it's not allowed to eat. So whenever a person, he sees this, if he sees this himself, then at this time he must make the imsak. And to eat anything after that is not allowed and it's haram. And it would invalidate his fast. Or if somebody told someone that they seen it, he received information from a reliable source that somebody saw the rising of the fajr, or somebody who makes the adhan based upon him seeing it or based upon him hearing that from a reliable source, then that adhan right there will likewise would take the place of seeing it directly. All of these are means of how that ruling is established. the time for imsak, the time when one must begin fasting and refrain from eating and drinking, is at this time. How is it determined? It's determined by seeing it directly. Or it's determined by somebody who's seen it directly, somebody who's reliable, seeing it directly, informing someone. Likewise, the adhan of somebody who's seen it directly who was informed. So either somebody he would see it, or somebody would tell him they saw it, or somebody would hear the adhan of somebody who saw it or was informed that it was seen by reliable sources. We understand this. So if the adhan was made at that time, then that adhan right there is at that time, it's an obligation to finish and to not eat anything else. To not eat anything else. It's been collected by in Bukhari and Muslim from the Hadith Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna bilalan yu'adhinu bilayl, fakuru washrabu hatta yunadi ibn Umi Maktum. ثم قال وكان رجل أعمى لا ينادي حتى يقال له أصبحت أصبحت." يعني Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that indeed Bilal, he makes the call at night time. So eat and drink until Ibn Ummi Maktum, he makes the call. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have two adhan for the Fajr. One before the Fajr is Sadiq, yani to wake up those who are sleeping, and also to draw the attention to those who are standing in the night prayer to get ready for the fasting, or to get ready for the prayer and the likes like this, to come back from their prayer. And this was before the time. This was before the time. And the one who made this adhan was Bilal. And then another adhan that was at the time of the Fajr, and this was from Ibn Ummi Maktum radiyallahu anhu. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed him that Bilal, he makes the adhan at night time, yani before the actual time of the Fajr as-Sadiq, before the time when it's allowed to pray and not allowed to eat for those who are fasting. So therefore, if you hear his adhan, continue eating. Continue eating until you hear the adhan of Ibn Ummi Maktum radiyallahu anhu, because he makes the adhan at the time of the Fajr. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he says, وَكَانَ رَجُلْ عَامَ, that Ibn Ummi Maktum, he was a blind man radiyallahu anhu, he was a blind man. وَلَا يُؤَذِّنُ حَتَّى يُقَالَ لَهُ أَسْبَحْتَ أَسْبَحْتَ, he would not make the adhan until somebody told him that it's time. And the morning has come, the Fajr has risen. So he would be informed. Somebody would see it for him and inform him, and then he would make the adhan. And then the people, they would make imsak based upon his adhan. Based upon his adhan. So at that time, whenever the adhan is made, yani according to the one who makes the adhan at that proper time, it's not allowed to eat after that. It's not allowed to eat after that. As for us today, then what we rely upon is the prayer schedule. What we rely upon for the time of the Fajr prayer and the rest of the prayers is the prayer schedule. So all throughout the year, we're using the prayer schedule. And if it says the prayer, for example, a Fajr is at 6:42, at 6:42 we make the adhan and we believe it's allowed to pray. If the next, after a few days, it says it's 6:40, or then after a month it says it's 6:30, or it goes down, it goes up, all throughout the season, we're going along with that, and we're making the adhan at that time, and we all believe that at that time, at that adhan, it's allowed for us to pray. It's allowed for us to pray. So if we believe that it's allowed for us to pray, is it allowed for us to eat? Right, the Fajr, there's two Fajrs, right? One of them it's allowed to eat and not allowed to pray Fajr. And the other one, it's allowed to pray Fajr and not allowed to eat. So if the adhan is made for the one that a person believes that it's allowed to pray Fajr, then it's incumbent for him to likewise believe that it's not allowed for him to eat. It's not allowed to eat. If it's allowed to pray Fajr, it's not allowed to eat. You understand that? If it's allowed to pray Fajr, is it allowed to eat? No, never. Not if you're fasting. Khalas, so then what is safe? Because some people they have made doubts about the time of the prayer schedules, specifically about the Fajr. And this was mentioned in specifically maybe over 10 years ago. But since then they have been redundant, and a number of the people of knowledge have verified that especially the Umm al-Qura, yani Sheikh Saleh al-Sheikh, and Sheikh Suleiman al-Ruhayli, and other than them, Hafidhahum Allah Ta'ala, have mentioned that it has been tested, it has been tried, it has been checked, and has been verified, that it's precise. That it is precise. So this is something that we all rely upon. So therefore, if we rely upon it all throughout the year, then whenever Ramadan comes, likewise, we rely upon it. So even if it was off by 1 or 2 minutes, a person, he's not sure about that, which way it was. So what is safest and what is best? And what is the ihtiyath? Is that a person, he will not eat after that time, whether he hears the adhan or not. If he's in his house, or whatever the case, if he's going by that time on his phone, the one that we use normally, we establish the prayer in our masjid upon, that same time that is well known. This is the one that one he will look at and he will eat and finish before that time. And if he did that, inshallah, then his fast will be safe. And there will be no doubt about that. There will be no doubt about that. As for if he had ate after that, then maybe some of the people of knowledge will be lenient in that, and others they will not. So the fact that a person, he performs an action of worship, and all of the scholars agree that it's correct, and all of the people of knowledge who are relied upon in their deen and their understanding of the religion agree that his action of worship is correct, then this is better. This is better than having some of them who are respected scholars. So one of them saying, "Oh no, you have to make that day up." And the other one saying, "No, he doesn't have to make that day up like this." Which one is better? You need to be safe, or to possibly have some doubt with regards to filling a pillar from the pillars of Al-Islam. To be safe. So therefore, a believer, he just get up early, and he, for the sake of Allah, he will follow the sunnah, he will take the food, and he'll eat it peacefully, not waiting to the last moment, rushing and scrambling and the likes like this. Rather, he will try his best to fulfill it properly, and he'll finish and take his need, and whenever that time comes, he will stop. This is what is recommended. And this is what I recommend for myself and my family. And we should try to follow that to the best of our ability. And Allah knows best. There have been some innovations that have been introduced. And we see this in conflict with the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, directly clarified in this narration from Anas radiallahu anhu about Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, how they took the suhoor to the very last moments. So it's clear that they are eating the suhoor until the very last moments, up until the adhan. Because it was briefly after that, it was approximately the recitation of 50 verses. The people of knowledge, they say 50 verses, not the short ones and not the long ones, rather the moderate verses, around 10 minutes. Around approximately 10 minutes. That's how long it was from the time they finished taking the suhoor, and from the establishment of the iqamah. So there's about 10 minutes. So meaning there's about 10 minutes between the adhan and the iqamah. So meaning that they're eating the sahur all the way up until the adhan of fajr. All the way up until the adhan of fajr. After that one, he will stop. So this is a great benefit. The time for imsak is at the calling of the adhan of fajr. Whenever it's called at that proper time. And some schedules today, we see that all throughout the year. For example, it will say 6:40, for example, is the time for fajr. And they're going by that all throughout the year. And then all of a sudden in Ramadan, they change it. Now there's two schedules. There's imsak time, and then there's fajr time. So you have fajr time, and then you have imsak time. So and the imsak time is like 10, 15 minutes before the fajr time. All of a sudden, this new time. This is not allowed. This is in contradiction to the likes of this narration. This is not following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, setting up this time here. To stop just in case, before the rising of the fajr. Just in case a person, he should follow the sunnah. If he wants to be just in case, that his action is good and accepted, then he should follow the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. And it's clear here that they will eat up until the last moments. But they will not eat after that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned and collected, it has been collected by Abu Dawood from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إِذَا سَمِعَ أَحَدُكُمْ النِّدَى وَالْإِنَاءُ عَلَى يَدِهِ فَلَا يَضَعُهُ حَتَّى يَقْضِيَ حَاجَتَهُ مِنْهُ. This is an exception with that. This is an exception with regards to that. Inshallah, we take it in the class to come. هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.